Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, drink novelty beverages, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan!
Jordan.
When was the last time you had a cigarette, Dan?
I guess I had some, maybe like a month ago or so.
Yeah.
Vape life, baby.
Oh,
hashtag.
Yeah, that's right. We shared one about a month ago. Yeah. But otherwise,
unsatisfying. Yeah. It wasn't that it was unsatisfying. It was like, I've successfully transitioned over to a vape.
Yeah.
And, the ideas of like, oh, the cigarette will be so much better. They're really not. So, I don't know. It's just an illusion of a bygone past.
It is strange. I don't miss it either.
Mm-hmm.
It's been almost 2 months since I quit like the regular smoking life, and I just don't miss it.
Well,
it's weird. How about you? You just don't care?
Not really.
Not really.
Every now and again, I do. I feel like I should have a cigarette, but I don't really. I don't. It goes away really fast.
Yeah.
I don't know. Hashtag vape life.
Vape life, apparently. That's how we do it.
So this is a podcast where neither of us really smoke cigarettes much, and we talk about Alex Jones because I know a lot about him.
And I only know what you tell me about.
That's correct. Jordan, today got an interesting episode to go over, but before we get to it, we got to give a shout out to some people who have signed up and are supporting the show. So first of all, I'd like to say thank you to Jim. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, Jim.
Thanks, Jim.
Next, Melissa. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, Melissa.
Thanks, Melissa.
Next, Mason. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, Mason.
Thank you very much, Mason.
Next, Cedric. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, Cedric.
Thanks, Cedric.
Then Leah. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you, Leah.
Thanks, Leah.
And finally, I'd like to say thank you to somebody who donated, then bumped it up to a little bit of an elevated level.
Ooh,
we appreciate
nice.
That very much. So taxable income. Thank you so much. You are now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
Crikey, mate. That's fantastic. Have yourself a brew.
How's your 401k doing, bro?
All right, we got to go full tilt boogie on this, Watson, all right? Let's just get down to business. We ain't making that money off that heroin. Why you pimp so good? My neck is freakishly large.
I declare info war on you.
Thank you so much, taxable income.
Thank you very much, taxable income.
If you're out there listening, you're thinking, hey, I like this show, I'd like to support what these guys do, you can do that by going to our website, knowledgefight.com, clicking the button that says support the show, and we would appreciate it.
That would be a delight.
So, Jordan, today we've got an episode to go over, and I'm not going to tell you what time frame it's from.
Okay.
Because what I'm going to do instead is I'm going to play you a clip, and you try and tell me
okay.
When this is from.
Are we doing this the whole time?
No, just this first clip.
Oh, just this first clip.
And then I will reveal to you what time frame we're talking about. But I wanted to play this clip and see if you could use context clues to figure out what era Alex Jones this episode is from.
Okay, so are we doing a poignant thing where it's like this is something Alex could be saying 10 years ago, or is this just out of the
blue?
Why
are you trying to ruin the game before
okay, fine.
It even starts?
I just wanted a hint.
You're just trying to get fucking a way to cheat at the game, and that's not fair.
Hints are not cheats.
Now pay close attention,
okay.
Because there are some subtle clues and some not so subtle clues.
Okay.
And it's all getting you ready. Why are they getting you ready for trips on the streets and TSA checkpoints? I mean, down the street from me, on the road, searching people. Illegally. Violation of the 4th, 5th Amendment. 10th Amendment. 9th Amendment. Why are they doing this? Ladies and gentlemen, because they're criminals. They're collapsing the whole society, and they know they're all going to jail if they don't totally take over and arrest their opposition. They've stolen tens of trillions, the derivatives. The people running things make Ken Lay look like a choir boy, an angel.
So you got the globalists' need to take power and jail their opponents, which is very in line with the ideas of the present day. It's very QAnon-y.
Right.
I don't know. What do you think?
What is Ken Lay doing in there?
Well, Ken Lay is a famous archetype of globalists.
Right,
perhaps.
But I mean, it's been a while, right?
True, but
I'm gonna go with 2011 or 2013?
No, this is January 24th through 28th, 2013. We'll be going over. We're continuing our investigation.
Yeah,
into
so I got 2013.
Yeah, but you hedged it with 2011.
I wanted a hint. I'm going to hedge.
So
I'm cheating.
The reason that I did that game that didn't go at all how I hoped it would, but the reason I did was that content of what he's saying is almost identical to things he's expressing in the present.
Yeah.
The narrative never changes. The idea that the globalists are going to go to jail unless they immediately do something is always there. It's consistently there. In 2013, we see it in the present. Although I thought for sure you'd be able to tell, like, oh, I guess you did, in saying 2011 or 2013. You could tell it wasn't present day.
Yeah.
Because his vocal patterns are so fucking different.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Not even close.
Just the idea of trying to imagine that that was in the present is ludicrous.
No chance.
No.
No, that
and
was
not
obvious.
Even just because of the Ken Lay reference. Like just the way he's organizing his thoughts, the way he's speaking, the mannerisms, the delivery, the slurring, absence thereof.
It was the guess was like when you heard it. Obviously, it was in the past, so it was either 2013 or I thought it might be a time travel episode. And you were like going to be like, "Hey, no, it's actually from 2009."
I'm
or
not
something
one for
like
trick
that.
Questions. I get where you're coming from, but I don't like to play like, "Hey, is it A or B?" Ha ha! Fuck you! It's C.
See, I've been burned too many times, Dan.
Yeah. So today, like I said, we're going over the 24th to the 28th. It's a wide span of time because some of it was a slog, and you need to find things to talk about. Sometimes that means you got to listen to whole episodes that suck.
Oh, boy. That's no fun.
Here is an out-of-context drop from this span of time we'll be covering on today's show.
My broadcast is almost a college for people who want to go out and do bad things and be evil.
I don't
What?
Let me be clear about this. That context doesn't help that clip.
So he's just literally saying that listen to me and do bad things.
I don't know what he was trying to express there because he doesn't explain. It feels accurate.
Yeah. Honesty?
Yeah. From where I'm sitting, that feels about right.
Accurate self-reflection?
Yeah. It's not accredited.
Yeah, no.
But, So in this first clip, we're going to start here on January 24th, and Alex starts things off on what I can only describe as a kind of racist note.
I mean, it is nothing but them playing us off like two different Indian tribes, two different Native American tribes. Early on, the natives outnumbered settlers at some points 100,000 to 1, you know, when there's like 15 settlers and, you know, estimated, you know, however many natives on the continent. But during some of the biggest Indian wars, 10 to 1, 20 to 1, 30 to 1. But it wasn't even the superiority of arms, because there were the French and others constantly always selling armaments to the natives who were very proficient with them.
Careful.
Very quickly. It was that the natives were always fighting with each other. And well, they live across that river. They all looked the same, acted the same, had basically the same culture. But it didn't matter because the British intelligence and others could come in and manipulate them off against each other. And the French tried it. It's called the Great Game. Who can do it the best? The Spanish tried it. They weren't as good.
Who's
the British
measuring?
Were the best at it, so they took over the world.
The British were the best at that, so they took over the world. I mean, there is kind of a little element of that that is like, haha, gullible natives.
No,
which is a fun way to look back on our history.
I really don't think he should be allowed to talk about history, period, because anytime, or maybe he should talk about it more, because anytime he tells us about what he thinks history was, it is a fantastical, ridiculous, a twisting
revisionist
of certain
nonsense.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. So that came in the context of Alex beginning this episode in what I would describe as a protracted rant about how he can't stand the people who are calling him and his friends racist because they won't turn in their guns. He has this conception that's like, I don't want to turn in my guns. Oh, well, you're a racist then.
Hold on. Let me tell you more about American history where all Native American tribes looked the same and basically had the same culture, but you could still trick them into fighting each other. How dare you call me racist?
Exactly. I don't believe that anyone is actually making the accusation that Alex is a racist because he won't turn in his gun. It seems like a classic straw man that he likes to play.
Yeah.
On the other hand, Alex is a huge racist, completely independent of his unwillingness to turn in his gun. So I get that someone might be accusing him of that, and he's just misunderstanding what they're saying.
Yeah.
I think that clip that we just listened to can really be a full demonstration of Alex being a huge, monstrous racist.
Yeah, it doesn't get much more racist.
The way
that he
discusses Native American tribes in that clip clearly illustrates how much of a bigot he is and how bigotry informs his worldview. The context of that clip is that he's been trying to say that the globalists are trying to trick us into fighting with each other. His side loves their guns, but the left has been tricked into thinking that him and his friends are racists because the globalists want to demonize them to make it easier to take their guns. Thus, the globalists are trying to play Alex and the left against each other, quote, like two Native American tribes. The first problem that jumps out is that Alex is trying to present the plight of the Native American tribes in early American history as being the result of them being gullible and stupid. There's so many more of them than the whites, but they were so easy to dupe into fighting with each other that the crafty whites were able to get the upper hand.
Or they were nice and the whites were evil nationalist lunatics.
The second problem, where his real bigotry is on full display, is when he says of the tribes, quote, they all looked the same, acted the same, had the same culture.
See, there you go. That one was troublesome.
Yeah, that's a huge problem.
That's a big problem.
This is absolutely nowhere near true, but it's true to Alex because he gets most of his information about Native Americans from F-Troop reruns. When Christopher Columbus arrived, thinking he'd reach the Indies, he called the people he encountered Indians. To quote Herman Viola, curator of the Smithsonian Institution, National Museum of Natural History, quote, a fundamental mistake that persists to this day is to speak about, quote, the American Indians, as if they were one people. Despite their small numbers, the Indian peoples of North America were as dissimilar from each other as they were the peoples of Europe. In terms of languages, clothes, lifestyles, militancy, and religion, the tribes in different parts of North America differed greatly from each other. Native American tribes only appear to look similar, act similar, and have the same culture if you don't pay attention to them and see them not as people, but as things. It's one thing for someone to say that in the late 1700s, but man, it is a real sign of severe bigotry in the mind for someone to express that in 2013.
Right.
It's fucked up.
It's
different forms of government, different languages.
Obvious. It's yeah. too obvious. Look, if France and fucking Spain are the distance or like the size of Indiana and Illinois right back to back and they have completely different languages, why would you imagine that Native Americans in a vast expanse geographically larger than Europe would be one monoculture?
Yeah.
They don't even like Leno.
It's a dismissal. It's just, it's a historical dismissal.
Look at them. They're brown.
Yeah.
Done. They weren't smart enough to develop individualistic societies together, I guess.
Yeah. Which is classic. Classic Alex Jones and classic bigotry, which come together like peanut butter and chocolate.
Oh, yeah.
So in this next clip, Alex is talking more about Piers Morgan and how great a time he had on the show and how it's been awesome for him. I'm getting tired.
I hate him. I hate him so much.
I'm getting real tired of him bragging about being on Piers Morgan.
I really hate him.
Yeah. It's kind of like that comic you know who gets a big gig and then talks about it for 5 years.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's kind of the feeling I'm getting with Alex. He's insulting Piers Morgan and talking about how stupid and shitty and a globalist he is, but at the same time won't stop fucking talking about being on his show. It's very insane.
Dude, the JFL audition process is such bullshit. Since I got in the New Faces 5 years ago, they won't allow me to do it. I had a great time and I love JFL.
While we're
so
on
much.
The subject, I should tell you I did audition for JFL.
Yeah, of course you did. Yeah.
Can't even remember what fucking year that was. Anyway, it's a sex clip. Alex talks about Piers Morgan and how it was the biggest thing of the last year.
That blow up on air was aired on every major English station in the world that I know of. It's one of the biggest media events, not just of this year, but last year. And it's been rated as such.
As such.
And I didn't really do all that on purpose. I just said, God, whatever you want me to do,
yes,
have me do
did.
It. And that's what happened.
Every part of that was purposeful.
They're not having me on all these other shows. They could have me on MSNBC and get double ratings for the week. They could have me on all these Fox News and increase their ratings. They know that. I mean, I've talked to executives of these companies over and over again over the years. Oh, we really want you. We're trying to get you, but there's no way the execs are going to kill it. And I'm like, that's fine. I don't want to be on there. Stop calling me.
I would imagine that's someone being polite and trying to end a conversation. Oh, we're trying to have you on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And these places don't want to have Alex on, not because they don't want the ratings or they're afraid of him. It's a cheap pop. It's a cheap way to get attention on you, but you demean the quality of what you're doing and the content. Piers Morgan doesn't have that concern.
No.
Because he's Piers fucking Morgan.
He's an asshole, and everybody is like, meh, you're an idiot.
Yeah, it's like
that's it.
It's stunt booking.
Yeah.
That kind of thing, like what Rogan does.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'll have Alex Jones on. I don't care.
Yeah, right.
A lot of fucking views.
Yep.
But at the same time.
Justifies everything, doesn't it?
Yeah. So you really start to get the sense of the way Alex's mind works in that last clip, which with how much he needs to insist that him being a little gun baby on Piers Morgan's show was a gigantic media event, in quotes. Even his own telling of it here, he didn't accomplish anything. Piers Morgan is still an asshole. His precious guns are still in peril of being grabbed by Dianne Feinstein. Discourse hasn't been advanced, and we've gotten nowhere. the way Alex is phrasing this is correct. And it's so weird that he knows it. That was a media event. And that geared only at generating publicity. A PR stunt. That's all that was.
Yeah.
And he knows it. I decided to think back on 2012 and January 2013 to see if Alex's claim stood up to scrutiny, that his appearance on Piers Morgan was one of the biggest media events of that time period and has been rated as such.
Double ratings for all of the networks that decided to air it.
I'm going to consider all media coverage to be relevant to my calculations, so I'm not just considering overtly manufactured media events, although there may be some in this list. Here are some of the things that happened in 2012 that people certainly remember way more than Alex yelling at Piers Morgan. CERN discovered the Higgs boson particle.
Boring.
The 2012 Summer Olympic Games in London.
Don't even remember it.
Putin became president of Russia again after years as prime minister. The murder of Trayvon Martin. The Curiosity rover landed on Mars. The whole Mayan apocalypse thing. Barack Obama got reelected, so there was that whole 2012 election, the primary season. That dude Felix Baumgartner live-streamed jumping out of space from that Red Bull balloon, becoming the first man to break the sound barrier without a vehicle.
Right.
I remember I watched the shit out of that.
Madison Baumgartner won the World Series.
I don't know if that was 2012.
It was even year magic, baby.
Okay.
2010, 2012. No.
Grumpy Cat made its media debut.
Ooh, pour one out. R.I.P.
Yeah. And of course, that year saw the deaths of Whitney Houston, Andrew Breitbart, Dick Clark, MCA of the Beastie Boys, Rodney King, Ernest Borgnine, Neil Armstrong, and Michael Clark Duncan. Oh, and of course, there was the fucking Aurora and Sandy Hook shootings. Like, what are you doing?
I don't mean to judge at all here. Borgnine made the list?
He's a big star. There were probably other choices I could have made in the list of celebrity deaths, but Borgnine's up there.
I like Borgnine. He's relevant. No, he's great.
Relevant.
He's great in everything.
I still think his death probably got more media coverage than Alex being on Piers Morgan.
Probably.
It's insane that he thinks that, like, it's the biggest fucking thing. There was an election.
Yeah. 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 The
like
20.
That alone.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a pretty big one.
Yeah.
It was a pretty big election.
Fucking conceited, narcissistic asshole. Thinking that, like, we are the... I yelled at Piers Morgan and it changed the world.
It did.
The fuck out of here.
The effects are rattling throughout history today.
Mm-hmm. So in this next clip, Alex is mad because Dianne Feinstein may or may not have mentioned Christianity in talking about gun control bills.
Mm-hmm.
And Alex doesn't like that. And then he says something painfully tragic, considering what we know from where his career goes.
And speaking for Christians, even if she was a Christian, you do not speak for me, lady. And I think it's just outrageous that people think it's okay to walk on Christians. Can you imagine if I got up here and spoke for Islam when I'm not a Muslim or a follower of the Prophet Muhammad?
Yes, I can imagine.
Can you imagine what would happen? Can you imagine if
Nothing?
I got up here and if I spoke for Jewish groups?
Yes.
Or if I spoke for atheist groups? Well, as an atheist, I believe in God. And as a Christian, I believe in turning your guns in, even though I'm not a Christian. I mean, it is over the top.
I mean, that condescending impression that he did at the end there is like, I'm an atheist and I believe in God. Like, literally, so much of his show now is screaming about how atheists secretly worship the devil.
Yeah.
So, Alex, yeah. You are doing exactly what you're mocking.
Every bit of it.
Yeah.
You are always speaking for Islam, saying that
totally.
They want to do all this. You're always speaking
totally.
For Judaism.
Totally.
Even this story where you're like, hey, even if she is a Christian, you don't speak for me, lady.
Mm-hmm.
You speak for all Christians all the time.
You speak for everybody.
Everybody,
you might
all
as well
the
be
time.
The fucking Lorax.
Exactly.
You're speaking for the trees.
Can you imagine?
This fucking guy. And I think that you nailed it in the middle of that clip, which is the real tragic thing. Is like, it's funny to look back at this and he'd be like, wouldn't that be just so awful of me to do that?
Yeah.
Like she's doing now? And he's like, can you imagine what people would do? Like, not much.
Yeah.
Not much. I mean, I guess that's not like technically why he's kicked off all these social media platforms,
right.
But he could probably imagine that's the consequence of that, but I don't think he'd ever even try that.
No, I doubt
ultimately
it.
It's nothing. You get no consequences, Alex.
Yep. Yeah, except for if you agitate long enough, you'll go on Joe Rogan again.
Right,
that's pretty much it.
Yeah, you throw a fit, people reward you.
Yep.
So, Jordan.
Yes.
This next clip is a commercial.
For Piers Morgan Show.
Wouldn't that be great?
That would be hilarious.
If he starts advertising
That'd
for Piers. That'd
be really funny.
I'd love that. That would be a bold move. GCN's new sponsor, Piers Morgan.
Piers fucking Morgan.
It's not that, but this, I'm going to ask you to put your mic down because I think you're going to end up laughing and screaming during this commercial.
Okay.
Because it's absurd.
Okay.
Hey there, Frank Bates here. Have you heard about the weird device that could wipe out 280 million Americans? This is really scary stuff. Defense experts warn that this odd device poses the gravest threat we've ever known. In fact, just a few weeks ago, former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich wrote an op-ed piece for the Washington Post warning about this deadly threat. I can't believe that more people aren't talking about this. It may be because the liberals and the government are trying to cover it up. That's why my friend just created a free video at weirddevice.com that exposes this threat and blows the doors off the conspiracy. Go watch the shocking video at weirddevice.com right now to discover exactly what it is, plus discover the number one way you and your family can survive this deadly attack. I'm not sure how long this video will be online, so go to weirddevice.com before it's gone forever. Again, that's weirddevice.com.
Weirddevice.com. Good high-level sponsorship coming in from weirddevice.com.
God, I want Sam Elliott to redo that audio because that is fucking dynamite.
Nope, it was Frank Bates. So what are your first thoughts about the weird device?
Well, very specific
in the commercial.
The first thing I thought is a banner ad where it's like, try this one weird trick to make your odd device go away or whatever it is. You know? Like that kind of thing. And then 280 million is really specific.
It is. It's a lot.
It's very specific, mm-hmm. though. That's like, what, 8% of the population, something like that.
80?
Eight.
It's 8% of the population? 280 million?
Oh, 280 million.
Isn't that what he said?
He said 280 million, didn't he?
I think he did.
Shit, I thought he was saying 28 million.
I just discounted
whatever he was
saying.
Yeah, I stroked out.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Any number is...
So I want to start this with bad news, and that is that WeirdDevice.com is no longer a functioning website.
Oh.
And the snapshots in the Wayback Machine are just pages with videos that are no longer available, so we may never know exactly what the Weird Device is.
Wait, so they did take the video down?
I think whoever's running it did.
I think this is real now.
Nah, it's not. I think it might have been something about EMP fears. That's my guess, because I think it's probably some sort of a threat to the power grid.
Sure. That makes the most sense.
If it's 280 million people, then you assume that the only people who wouldn't be affected by knocking out of the power grid by an EMP would be people who live deep in the woods.
Yeah.
And maybe that's the rest of the population.
Who probably aren't listening to that broadcast.
Yeah. Another possibility is that I found another product that this company sells that is referred to as a weird device, but I don't think it's the same one because it's just a solar-powered kettle.
Oh, that's nice.
It's very weird. There's a video you can find advertising it online, and it's very strange.
Looking. Yeah? Does it work?
I don't know. It looks it seems like one of those made-for-TV products. That like, oh, here's the thing you can make a giant donut in. Like,
solar
great.
Kettle.
Yeah. It All takes right. the sun's rays. It looks, it's like a tall cylinder, and you can make soup in it. That's basically how they sell it.
It's almost like, you know what else is a solar kettle? A really hot day.
Right. A pot.
That's it.
I don't think that that's what the commercial's for because there's so much more danger implied by the commercial.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I don't know. So since we started back in this late 2012, early 2013 time period, I've been hearing that commercial for the weird device, and every time I've had to suppress the urge to figure out what it's about.
Right.
As I know from listening to Alex for this long that something like that is often not satisfying to investigate. You have this great thing that's just, come on, look at this. It's a weird device.
It's a weirddevice.com.
Yeah, I mean, it could just be a crank-operated radio or flashlight.
That would be
a
weird device.
Not that weird. It's always unsatisfying. It's sour grapes when you look into Alex shit. Patriot marketing traditions are really manipulative, and they play on emergencies and secrecy like that commercial does. So I just decided I wouldn't even fucking get into it and try and figure out what Frank Bates and the weird device are all about. But this time, I couldn't resist.
Couldn't stop yourself.
No. I had to get to the bottom of this. And thankfully, it wasn't too hard, thanks to a great investigative piece by Zach Beauchamp on Think Progress,
yeah,
which a lot of this information comes from. The Weird Device is but one of the advertising campaigns put out by a company called Four Patriots. It's a company that sells survival food, seeds, and all sorts of other stuff you'd suspect a patriot-oriented company to sell.
They tend to like that stuff.
Frank Bates is the face of the company, and his story is the stuff of downtrodden patriot legend. His family had suffered due to his unfair termination by an evil business. Power costs had driven him out of his home. The federal government wanted to put him in a FEMA camp.
No!
As Beauchamp explains, quote, Bates' testimony, up from dependence through three neat products, is the beating heart of the Four Patriots brand public image. The marketing centers around the premise that these products that they sell are the things that allowed Frank Bates to break free of government oppression, high power costs, and all the rest of the other bullshit, and become a independent patriot.
Yeah, I'm starting to, I'm suspecting some issues here.
Well, the first issue is maybe a big one. There's literally no evidence that Frank Bates exists.
Yes, of course.
Four Patriots is a company that was started by a guy named Alan Baylor, a Harvard graduate who was bored at his corporate job and decided to get into affiliate marketing. This is the sort of thing where a person is aiming to drive traffic to a seller's website, so they create their own website ostensibly as a resource on products like the one the seller is marketing with links to the seller's website. The internet is littered with websites like this, where a page is like a write-up of the importance of humidifying air. They have a bunch of essays with the right words, the keywords in it, and then at the end there's an Amazon link to a specific humidifier that is what they make money off of. The goal is to get the affiliate website situated in a prime position with SEO so you funnel people to where the seller wants them to go. Then the affiliate marketer gets a cut of all the purchases that come from clicks of that link. Around 2011, Baylor stumbled into how lucrative and easy to market to the conservative community are and began focusing on them specifically. He began a company called Reboot Marketing, the parent company of all the various Four Patriot initiatives, and by all accounts, he created Frank Bates to appeal to all the little things that are catnip to conservatives, which all basically boil down to rank paranoia. In 2012, the company brought in $11.8 million using this strategy. To quote Beauchamp, quote, all Baylor does is drench someone else's stuff in paranoid anti-Obama finery and advertise it to the conservative media sphere using a likely fictional life story. And one of the places he decided to take his advertising model to, Alex Jones.
Wow, that is fucking brilliant.
It really is.
Because he's not making anything. He's not creating anything.
No, I don't think he is.
He's not adding any evil really into the world. He's just manipulating.
He's just recognized
paranoid guys and sending them to Amazon links and all shit like that.
He's just recognized how easy it is to con the conservative. At least this end of it.
Right.
This end of the conservative spectrum. And man, he got like, he was all over the place. He was advertising on, The Blaze.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty endemic for a bit.
Yeah. How's he doing now?
I think he's still probably doing pretty good.
God, I like this guy.
It's such an interesting question too of like the legality of what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you just made up this guy as the pitch man or whatever, that's not illegal.
No.
That's not illegal at all. He could be completely defrauding people who have an expectation or a belief that this guy is real. But where it does get into, like, FTC laws being violated is if Frank Bates, the fake character, is giving a testimonial that these products work.
Okay. All right.
Because then you're entering the territory of defrauding your customers.
Right. Now.
So it's this weird, I don't know if he's ever broken the law, if there's ever been an investigation, but it's that weird middle ground where you're definitely scamming people.
Yeah. Yeah. No, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure. Or even are you? It's not like you're stealing money from anybody.
I think he is, because I think a lot of them have some pretty serious markups too.
Oh yeah.
As I understand from that article in Think Progress, there may be some like buying a ton of stuff from one of these companies and then seriously marking it up. Like the affiliate marketing side of it is one place, like that's where it started. but it appears that the business may have grown to the point
where... Oh, he's also starting to sell his own stuff?
Well, as a conduit of other companies.
Gotcha.
You know, like, one of the things that he sells is food, like survival food,
uh-huh.
and he gets it from MyPatriotSupply.com, which is okay. the same place Alex sells food from.
Jesus Christ.
And according to that Think Progress article, he had a severe markup on yeah. that survival food.
Yeah.
So there's a chance that he gets stuff wholesale and then, like, bilks people.
Right.
Which is kind of the same thing Alex is doing.
It's almost entirely the same thing that
it's
Alex
It's kind of weird to see.
It's not even kind of, it's the same thing Alex is doing.
It's weird to see, an advertisement that's basically for Alex's business model on his show.
Yeah.
It's very weird.
Yeah, yeah. That's yeah. strange. Except yeah. it's almost like Alex is missing out on part of it and he's not getting any of the affiliate marketing.
Well, that's because his business is so, in its adolescence,
yeah.
in 2013.
Oh, yeah, well, that's true. Yeah, you're right.
He has very few outside hustles other than his own business.
Right.
What other kind, like, whatever possibly secret funding he may have, or just the advertisers.
Yeah.
The Limerick soap guy. His water filtration stuff.
The weird device is actually Limerick soap.
Yeah. And I mean, it's entirely possible that Weird Device and, the Four Patriots is a specifically GCN sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
That's entirely possible, but
yeah.
it doesn't mean that Alex isn't still profiting off of it.
Right.
And wouldn't have veto power of what sponsors they put on his show. Like, he's made that network viable.
Right.
So it's not like, it's not like they would be able to be like, hey, Alex, we're going to put this ad on your show against your will.
Right, 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 right.
He just either accepts it and courted the sponsorship, or he doesn't care.
Doesn't have. I would go with has no idea. Based on the ad copy,
it's
based
possible.
On WeirdDevice.com,
it's all
you know. There's no way that Alex is going to WeirdDevice.com,
probably
and you
not.
Definitely know that if anybody tried to explain to him how affiliate marketing worked, he would get very bored
fall
and fall asleep.
Yeah. yeah,
so
it's all over these shows though. These
yeah.
ads, and I've heard other ones from Frank Bates before. Like, I've heard him do other ad reads in other time periods.
God,
so, like, it's
great.
A sponsor that they've had for a while.
It's like having Bugs Bunny do your spokesperson. That's so good. I love that he made it up. That's so funny.
Yeah. It's that line, too, of, like, where does the, you gotta respect the hustle.
And right, right, right.
Where is the line that ends? Because I still care about these people, even if they're gullible, I still care about them as consumers who deserve protection.
Right.
You know, so I don't...
Shut it down, Warren. Come on now.
I don't want them...
Hey there, Liz.
I don't want them being ripped off.
Right.
At the same time, it's a pretty fucking funny story.
But the shit they're buying is already being ripped off. It's of zero value in the first place.
Yeah.
The fact that any of
Not
this...
always.
Any of this vertical integration exists at all is a giant scam.
He was selling, guides on how to build your own solar panels.
Oh, well, that actually might be useful.
It's not. The Think Progress article, the guy talked to experts in the field of
yeah.
solar panels.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he asked us, like, is this something that you could do? And they're like, no.
Well, did they read the book?
Yeah, they reviewed the materials.
Oh, okay. Well, then we're in trouble.
And they were like, it would be much cheaper to just buy solar panels
yeah.
than to try and build your own based on the parts that you would need. So this is ridiculous. So anyway, I'm
not going to have solar panels to buy after the apocalypse happens, Dan.
Yeah. So that's kind of advertising that Alex is up to in this 2013, which
no
is
good.
Real fun.
Yeah.
No good and real fun simultaneously. And now we get Alex has a guest on this show on the 24th, and it's the first time this guest shows up ever on the show.
Really?
And it's interesting that it happens in this time frame and then simultaneously.
I want to go to our guest. We'll play the famous clip of him dressed as a 70s pimp, totally obvious with an underage girl, telling him she's underage, and discussing how to get the tax exemptions and things for his pimping operation and how to run little girls into the U.S.
There it is.
We've all seen that, so I won't play it now. We'll get to it later in some other clips. James O'Keefe, great to have you on. Again, I just salute you. You were on the Nightly News with Jakari Jackson last week.
So he's been on the Nightly News, but he's never been on InfoWars.
This is the InfoWars proper. He's been called up to the major leagues.
Yes. And, it's kind of interesting. James O'Keefe, of course, the guy who runs Project Veritas and has become a very big piece. Not a very big piece. He still comes on pretty regularly.
Yeah.
At least he, I can't speak to that in 2019, but up until 2018, at least, he was definitely around pretty regularly. Alex would promote any of the dumb scams he would try and pull. He's a part of the InfoWars oeuvre.
Yeah. Sure. I'm really consistently flabbergasted anytime his name comes up that he isn't in jail.
Yeah.
Like every time his name comes up, I'm like, oh, well, obviously we handled that problem by sending that guy to jail, right? No, he's still making moves. No. But yeah. he lied, and he's lying, and he's a liar.
So it's interesting to me that one of the only things that Alex can really pull from memory that James O'Keefe has done is going to Acorn dressed as a pimp. And here's why that's interesting to me. There's no reason to speak positively in 2013 about what James O'Keefe did with Acorn, which is the Association of Community Organizers for Reform Now.
Yeah, that's one of the most fucked up
bullshit.
See, that's what I'm saying. Shouldn't he be in jail?
He should be. And we'll get to another reason why he should be in a little bit. One that people don't really know about. Well, people do, but you forget about it because of all the other fucked up stupid shit.
Right, no shit, yeah.
So after those videos were released, they became the biggest fucking thing in the conservative world. Obama had just won the 2008 election, and the right was scrambling to find ways to attack him that would stick. And one of them was the accusation that Acorn had engaged in voter fraud, which is just the GOP code for helping poor people vote.
Yeah. As opposed to voter fraud, which is what the GOP does.
The videos that O'Keefe made were not an investigation. They were conceived of, planned, carried out, and edited specifically with the explicit purpose of smearing Acorn set in stone from the jump. And I say edited for a reason. Those videos were manipulatively edited to such an absurd extent that the one thing Alex remembers about the video isn't real. James O'Keefe didn't go to Acorn dressed as a 70s pimp with a girl dressed like a prostitute. They showed up and talked to people in what you might call business casual attire, but later edited in footage of them dressed as a pimp and prostitute in order to make the viewer think that all the interviews as they were happening when they were talking to the Acorn worker, they want you to think that they were dressed as a pimp and that this person was engaged with someone dressed like that.
Yeah.
As absurd. It's a false framing of the videos, and it's the only detail that Alex remembers. We know that he asked leading questions and edited together the Acorn employees' answers to make them look bad, because O'Keefe was forced to release all the unedited footage in order to avoid being charged with illegally recording people without their consent, which is a crime. And when all the video footage came out, it was like, oh, this is clearly you are leading them down roads. It's nonsense.
Well, then I'm glad to know that all of the video footage came out and he was discredited, of course, and nobody ever paid attention to him again. Everybody remembers Acorn being one of the... it's the nadir, really, of conservative lies.
It's bad. Investigations were launched into Acorn, which consistently found no wrongdoing on the part of the organization and its employees, but it didn't matter. The damage had been done just by the appearance created by these fucking liars, and the GOP successfully pushed for defunding of Acorn before the investigations were even concluded. As the GOP used Acorn to attack Democrats, Democrats began to distance themselves or failed to stand up for the organization, which ultimately led to Acorn having to close up shop.
The Democrats?
What?
What? Yep. No.
Yep.
No.
Yep. They had to close up shop because they were unable to raise sufficient funds to continue their mission, especially with the defunding of government grants and stuff.
Yeah, that's essentially a microcosm of politics in America.
You bet.
The right makes shit up, and the left is like, whoa, we can't touch this anymore, and then all the normal people lose their fucking lives.
Yep.
Great.
James O'Keefe didn't care about possible human trafficking or voter fraud when he made this video. His goal was to make Acorn unable to do the work they did because it was a threat to the right wing. His actions constituted an intentional and malicious attack on voting rights, but in the process, he also managed to shutter a group that helped people receive fair wages for work, receive a quality education, and protect themselves from predatory loaning. Ultimately, the legacy of James O'Keefe's work is crippling a group that existed to help the poor, so congratulations to him. The Acorn videos were a big success as propaganda, largely because of the involvement of Andrew Breitbart, who discovered O'Keefe and amplified his work and put him on retainer, basically for Breitbart. it's really hard to look at the sort of all the failed stunts that O'Keefe did before this and how consistently his stings completely fall apart after the point of Breitbart's death and not think that Andrew's sensibilities and knack for propaganda really had a ton for this Acorn campaign succeeding. It was the tutelage and mentorship of someone who really was good at that game.
Yeah.
That made it work. And James O'Keefe is coasting on that one win to the present day.
Right.
He constantly has shit blow up. Like that Roy Moore thing that he tried to pull with the Washington Post.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
That completely blew up in his face.
Yeah.
He fucking hired Laura Loomer.
Yep.
Like,
yep. This is, sure.
Yeah.
No. And you know what? I bet everybody's discredited him forever and nobody's ever going to pay attention again. No, that's not true. Don't we have, it's fun now that we can fucking bang on, what, Wohl? Is that his name?
Jacob Wohl.
Yeah.
That, who also that worked asshole. With Laura Loomer.
Yeah, surprise!
I don't think that Andrew Breitbart liked Alex Jones. There was ample opportunity for him to be a guest on Alex's show before he died, and he never did come on. They were working for similar propaganda goals, so that they would appear to be natural allies. But I get a strong sense that Andrew Breitbart didn't want anything to do with Alex. And that can explain why in the 2009 period when the Acorn videos were hot, O'Keefe wasn't on Alex's show either. His bread was buttered by Andrew Breitbart, but now it's 9 months after Breitbart's death, and here is O'Keefe spreading his wings a little bit, appearing on Alex's show. Of all the people we run into on this show, I think I have the least respect for James O'Keefe, if only for how much work he puts into doing absolutely nothing. His goals are always destructive towards vulnerable communities, and his plans almost always fall apart. But he has to put in way more effort into these scams than someone like Alex does with his work. Alex just has to pay a staff to write headlines, and then he riffs on air, you know, often drunkenly.
Yeah.
Now, there are people who are eviler, but somehow the fact that James O'Keefe tries as hard as he does singles him out in my mind for a particular level of disrespect. I fucking hate that guy.
Yeah, he's a little bit like Wile E. Coyote if he wasn't chasing a roadrunner and just was punching a baby.
But
like, that was basically it. But he somehow still manages to miss the baby every time he tries to punch it.
That would work if he was presently and had been Wile E. Coyote for quite a while.
Yeah.
But then in Wile E. Coyote's backstory was one time
he caught
he actually caught Roadrunner.
Yeah, exactly.
Because someone else helped him.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, you know, this is a bad interview, and it's mostly pointless.
Yeah.
Because we're trying to track what's going on in this 2013 period, but specifically it's about trying to figure out Sandy Hook stuff. And James O'Keefe's appearance is not really about that. And it's just about Alex screaming about James O'Keefe being great and being a real journalist. And we don't need to hear that.
Yeah.
But there is one point that I thought was really interesting. And that is this next clip where James O'Keefe talks about something that he got in trouble for in the past, and he's completely lying about this situation.
Continue. You were talking about how they're authoritarians, how they're always wanting you arrested for exposing their activities.
Exactly. There have been a number of occasions where I've been subpoenaed. Most famously, there was a huge story where I was in New Orleans investigating Senator Mary Landrieu. And she was not answering her constituents' phone calls during the healthcare debate in 2010. Went into the federal building with a camera, a recording device, and as you pointed out, one-party consent state, so it's legal to do it in Louisiana. But I was in a federal building. I was arrested, and they were going to let me go as a journalist. They said, "Oh, you're just there to ask questions." And then they found out that I was the Acorn pimp. I went into Acorn posing as a pimp and hooker, and they said, based on the senator and these other situations, we're going to have to keep you overnight in federal prison. And then I wake up the next day and I find myself charged with some ridiculous felony.
None of that is true. Well, he did get charged with a felony. That part's true.
Well, it wasn't a ridiculous felony, though.
It is, actually.
It's a ridiculous. What kind of ridiculous felony is it?
So the reason that James O'Keefe got arrested for what he did to Mary Landrieu is because what he did was a fucking felony. And he is damn lucky he didn't do hard time for it.
I'm really mad about that.
Yeah. Yeah, he should have gone
really,
to prison for
it
this.
It sure seems like the conservative guys never go to as much prison as they should.
Of the things that he's done, like that one time he tried to lure a reporter on his boat or whatever, and tried to seduce her.
Yeah.
Like for a stunt. Like that.
Yeah.
That is creepy as hell. And maybe you should go to prison for that.
Yeah, for sure.
But this one, for sure, like I can't believe that he got out of this. So he claimed that a bunch of people had told him that they weren't able to reach Landrieu, who was then a U.S. senator in Louisiana. Landrieu claimed that people were having difficulty because the phones were, quote, jammed, which makes sense. There was a hot button issue in terms of health care being discussed at that point back in 2010, which would obviously lead to an increased call volume. O'Keefe decided to interpret this explanation of the phones being jammed as actually meaning that Landrieu had said that there was a problem with her phone system. He and three friends then decided to dress up like telephone repairmen and lie their way into her offices, which is super illegal. That's called entering a federal building under false pretenses. Once inside, according to the FBI, they, quote, manipulated the telephone system, which led some to believe that their true intention was to bug her phones.
You can't do that.
You can't.
No, you can't. Not like, not even like, you can't, like, he couldn't come here and manipulate your phone device.
Well,
without us being like,
fiddle
this is
with
crime.
My cell phone.
This is a crime.
O'Keefe denied that that's what he was doing, but ultimately it's hard to see what the goal of this stunt would have been. She said her phones were really busy, so they dress up like telephone employees and mess with the phone system to prove the phones aren't receiving a higher call volume. Their actions don't really make a lot of sense in that context, but they make a ton of sense if their goal was to illegally tap her phone.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And here's the thing. If they were trying to tap the phones, it wouldn't have just been her phone. While they were there on their quote-unquote sting, they tried to access the entire building's phone closet, which would have probably given them access to many of the phone lines in the building. And remember, this is a fucking federal building. Other officials, government organizations, and judges had their offices in that building. It's pretty fucked up to consider what they could have possibly been up to. Ultimately, O'Keefe pled guilty to entering a federal building under false pretenses and was lucky to avoid some kind of, like, espionage charge.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you tap a senator's phone, I'm pretty sure that's, like, borderline treason levels of, like, nope, you're gone,
It may have been a situation where they were incompetent to a level
that saved their lives.
Yeah.
Like the Mueller report says about Trump so many times is that he was just too stupid to commit the crimes that he should have.
Well, you know, like Eric Prince was talking not too long ago about the Project Veritas people.
Yeah.
Like, they were I couldn't teach them anything.
Yeah. That was pretty funny.
They were unteachable. So James O'Keefe was sentenced to 3 years probation, 100 hours of community service, and a $1,500 fine. This is just one of the many instances in his career of him being the living embodiment of the white privilege he insists doesn't exist. Because anybody else caught in the situation that he was caught in we wouldn't know about them.
No.
Or we would have forgotten about them because they would have been imprisoned since 2010.
Yeah, they would have been disappeared.
I don't know about disappeared.
Wait,
what year did Guantanamo stop taking new people?
2020?
I don't know.
When the next president gets elected?
Yeah. So, Alex earlier said that, the Piers Morgan thing was the biggest media event of the last year. And he's got a media guy on the show now, a great journalist by the name of James O'Keefe. And so he's got to know what James O'Keefe thinks about Alex's appearance on Piers Morgan's show.
James O'Keefe, before we do that, do you want to comment on my Piers Morgan appearance or the overall attack on guns? I mean, I think it takes kinds, to make the world go round. I think it's good sometimes to get in their faces. If what I did was discrediting the gun owners, which they tried to spin it, why haven't they had me back on other shows? Why was the producer crying and screaming, get out, get out, get out, if it was a defeat for gun owners?
My comment on Piers Morgan is I only wish that Project Veritas went to his house and asked him to put a sign on his lawn.
Translation, I would like some of that attention.
Yep.
Because I've actually done some research, and I actually have both of his addresses out there in California.
Cool.
So I think he has one property in Beverly Hills under a different name.
I looked in the white pages.
Maybe you might see a video from us in the next week or two coming out on that subject.
Oh, a little sneak peek. You're going to be visiting Piers.
Yeah, maybe.
What do you need funding for it? I bet you're doing good.
Oh, yes. We do need funding.
How about I underwrite you going to Piers' house? And then I get a plug for Infowars.com. You want some help there?
We might be able to talk about that, yeah.
Maybe I'll go to his house.
So what we got there is basically Alex offering to pay James O'Keefe to harass Piers Morgan, which, again, it's all three of them are just assholes. So
yeah.
I don't know what to do with that.
I have no, I'm a big fan of Alex whenever he absolutely fixates on one thing and does not give a shit about what anybody else says. Anytime James O'Keefe is trying to interject with something else, he's like, maybe we should do this. And he's like, yeah, but I want to, you need funding? Who cares? I'll go to Piers.
I got money.
Go to Piers Market. Yeah, I'll pay you to go. Hey, also, could you pick up some chicken?
Yeah. No, that's in the present. He's not into chicken back at this point. I bet he's into chicken.
Of course he is.
So, in this next clip, that strategy that they're discussing of like, James O'Keefe going over to Piers Morgan's house.
Yeah, targeted harassment.
Well, I mean, on the one hand, he's a public figure. I think if there is a legitimate argument of it being a demonstration, that I don't know how against it I am. As long as it's done with it, like, you're not gonna go on his private property.
Right.
Like, if you're demonstrating outside his house or something, like on the street.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know.
But it's James O'Keefe.
Right. I don't trust him to operate appropriately.
Yeah, exactly.
Certainly. That is a concern of mine. But that strategy applied to Piers Morgan, you know, you kind of feel like there's a little bit of a, I don't know. This next one, that wiggle room or gray area goes away, right out the fucking window.
What about making the schools gun-free and then advertising and hyping it? I mean, it's like they're hoping for another mass shooting to get our guns.
What?
Well, that's one of the things that I thought about doing with this recent Citizens Against Senseless Violence mockumentary we made on YouTube. I thought about going to the Sidwell School. This is the school where David Gregory's kids go in Washington, as well as Barack Obama's kids go. And I just thought it was too risky because, you know, their Secret Service is there and
smart.
It'd just be too risky. They'd probably arrest me immediately. And
I hope so.
But I would have loved to go to the Sidwell School where David Gregory's kids go and offer them to put a sign up that says this school is gun free.
But see, that's your First Amendment right. Maybe I should go there and do that. And if they arrest you just to get some more news coverage.
Well, you guys haven't done that, so I guess you don't care that much about your principles. Now, I want to say that with or without going to the school, this conversation on the show does all that stunt would achieve, which is put focus on this school. And it's really fucked up to hear these dudes say that sort of thing and act like they're doing is some kind of acceptable gun rights advocacy.
Because isn't what they're, isn't, is, yeah.
Even if,
I'm confused, but yeah.
Even if school shootings weren't a very real issue, and even if there were an actual movement happening to take away people's guns, what they're joking about is making a public spectacle of a school where children are just trying to learn. Sidwell School is not just a little house where Obama and Dick Gregory's children get private instruction. It's a place where over 1,000 kids get an education, with classes from preschool through high school. Even if you don't cause someone to view the school as a target for an attack by these sorts of conversations and supposed hypothetical actions, by singling it out and creating a media storm around it, you are hurting children. Because here's the thing. That school is already a target. And going through with a stunt like what O'Keefe is describing is only playing into that and exacerbating the issue. On October 18th, 2012, Sidwell School was evacuated after receiving an anonymous threat by phone. On October 2nd, 2014, the school was evacuated after the discovery of a suspicious package, coming on the heels of a man scaling the White House fence armed with a knife. Beginning in the 2008 primaries, if not way before, Obama and his family have had to live with constant death threats. A large portion of these threats do not limit themselves to just the president. They were about killing his family. And for James to pretend he's not aware of that is pathetic. Mere months before this interview, Sasha and Malia's school was evacuated over a threat to the student body's safety. And now O'Keefe is on air casually joking about planning to do things that would obviously lead to that happening a bunch more. This is fucking irresponsible. And it's just sad. It's sad.
I don't understand if, okay, so here's their plan. They're gonna go to this school and just put an advertisement saying this
is guns here.
No gun zone.
Yeah.
So the idea being when they are shot up, you'll get to go, see, look at how smart we are.
We told you you should have had guns here.
Right. But he's saying like, hey, I'm going to put this school here or this sign here saying there's no guns, but I'll probably be arrested by Secret Service agents who absolutely have guns.
Right.
There are armed guards everywhere there.
Yeah. Because the children that go to this school are targets.
Yeah. All the time.
Because of rhetoric like the stuff you put out into the world.
Yeah. But isn't their ultimate goal with this stunt to have people get murdered in order to say I told you so?
I think that they would present their desired outcome to be there being guns everywhere. But
yeah.
I think that the likelier outcome is people seeing that school as a target.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the whole idea.
Yeah.
Jesus, that's fucked up. That's a billboard saying kill these kids.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. I find it tough to argue that that's not at least the functional outcome mm-hmm. of what they're talking about. It can't speak to intentions, but it does seem like that would be the logical outcome. So, you know, we're going to jump off here from the 24th because the two of them just have a long conversation about nothing and they don't care.
I'm stupid. I'm stupid too.
Right.
Great.
So we get off the 24th and we jump now to the 25th, and this whole thing is supposed to be about trying to figure out the Sandy Hook stuff, where bad things happened in Alex's coverage, where his rhetoric took turns. And I think that January 25th might be a crucial turning point in Alex's career because he says this.
New evidence has come out on CNN that I'm going to be airing tonight. That's all I've got to say concerning the Sandy Hook shooting. You know I have questions about it. I always do. They have a history of staging these things. So I believe and know people were killed there from the evidence we have. But there was definitely all the signs this is being managed. In fact, now it's pretty conclusive. I'm going to air that tonight. I'm shaken to my core right now. I mean, again, every instinct I've got is to flee this country.
So the thing, he's still saying that people died there. But you can tell that there's some sort of a massive shift. And he doesn't say what it is on this show, and I had to watch a goddamn episode of the nightly news to try and figure out what he's talking about.
Ooh.
And there wasn't even any information on it. It was David Knight being boring as hell.
It was new information from CNN, right?
Nope.
No.
So we don't find out what that is until a little bit later, but we will get to that on this episode. But just to let everyone know my pain, I watched a fucking episode of the nightly news.
I'm sorry.
So in this next clip, Alex has a big announcement to make, and this is huge. I can't even tell you how huge.
I really doubt it.
This is game changing.
I don't trust you.
Alex is running a contest.
Okay, now it's true.
I said I would announce this a few weeks ago. I've just been too busy, but it is the biggest contest we've ever had, and it is for $115,000, our new film contest. $115,000. First place, $100,000 cash prize. Second place, $10,000.
That's a big
drop off. Third place, $5,000. And then you will be in a pool in the running to have Infowars.com and our news operation finance your film to then put it out, not just on the Internet for free like I've done with all my others, but what we've seen Dinesh D'Souza and others do, putting them in theaters. Now, I've always known how to do this. And it's not that I shrink from work. It's just that I know the model. I have a lot of Hollywood contacts, as people know.
Charlie Sheen.
And so that is going to be the plan. Now, they may shut everything down by then, but regardless, $100,000 sounds like a lot of money, and it is. The biggest contest out there is Doritos. It's $100,000. So this is the biggest contest next to Doritos.
Why don't you fucking join the Doritos contest?
$100,001. Come on, man.
I would rather do the Doritos contest, quite frankly, than get in bed with your dumb ass. So I can't prove this as it relates to every Alex Jones contest, but in this case, I can confirm that Alex did actually name a winner in this contest and presumably did pay out that $100,000 as a prize, because I can find out who this person is, and I would assume they'd be crying bloody murder if Alex reneged on the deal.
Yeah.
In July 2013, Alex named a short film called Purge the winner of the Operation Paul Revere contest. I watched it, and man, I can't imagine how bad the other entries must have been.
Really?
This thing, not great.
I bet there were a shit ton of really good ones that got passed over for Purge.
It started to make me think of how much I wish he would do it again.
Yeah. Because
I would love to do one where I just break down how stupid he is.
Yeah.
And then enter the contest to see if I'd even watch it. So here's my critical review of this film, Purge, that I repeat, I watched.
Yeah.
It's only like 18 minutes, so it's not that bad.
Okay.
But like, I'm going to start with the positives. It appears that the film was shot with actual cameras.
Good.
It's edited with reasonable competence.
That's nice.
That's about it. Now the negatives. The acting is shit, the writing is laughable, and the message is really muddy. And it kind of implies that people need to start killing government agents now.
It kind of sounded like from the name being Purge, I assumed that some people were going to get purged. And if Alex chose this as the winner, he's not purging some people.
This is not an episode of Gunsmoke, so it might not be as satisfying for me to describe the plot to you, but here goes. The short film begins at a meeting of the Homeland Security Department, where a guy is giving a briefing to a group of, like, 8 people who have unspecified jobs. He's giving a description of the situation that the DHS is facing that basically reads like a script written by Alex Jones, imagining what DHS and their meetings would be like.
Terrorists.
We got to get these patriots.
Yep.
Military veterans are extremists.
Sure.
Every time someone in the meeting expresses disapproval of what's being said, the speaker whispers in German to his assistant as if to imply that they're Nazis.
Gotcha.
The people in the meeting room grow restless. And as they talk back, they're sent to the other room. Finish your training.
All right. I like it.
One is sent for saying that the American people are good. One is sent for talking back. And another one is sent to the other room for reading an InfoWars magazine in the middle of the meeting. When asked what he's doing, he replies, quote, getting some real intelligence. It's a shameless plug, but ultimately probably what won him
$100,000. I was going to say, that's the smartest thing anybody did in that entire fucking film.
100%.
That was a caller calling in being like, first, I want to let you know that I love your products. Yeah. That was exactly that. That guy's a genius.
It's embarrassing in the context of the short film.
Of course.
But, you know, you get why he did it. The remaining agents are given extremists in their sector to follow. They're given dossiers on people. One of the agents decides to call one of the extremists she has a file on to see if he's an extremist or not, which is crazy.
That's a good phone call.
Her call to him is laughably written. This is a pile of shit. Quote, this is Agent Danielle Robbins with the DHS. I'm concerned about an operation the DHS is conducting, and I'm wondering if I can get some more information from you. That's what she says to the guy that she has a file on.
Okay. All right. Okay. Okay.
I'm going to lead with the information that the DHS is up to something fucked up.
Yeah. Regarding you, specifically. Yeah,
exactly.
Let me ask you some questions. Are you an evil person? You're not?
Now, if you
cool,
say no,
then I'm going to betray the government for you. You one non-evil person who I have a file on.
Yep. She offers to meet up and buy him a beer, and he's a bit skittish about it, but they agree to meet up at a children's soccer game at night, presumably for safety. I don't know. So the DHS isn't going to kill those kids.
Wait, a children's soccer game at night and they're drinking?
No, they're not drinking.
Oh, I thought she was asking her for a beer.
She offered to buy the beer.
Oh, but, okay, yeah. I gotcha. All right.
So this dude that ends up, his name is Rolly McMahon. He's an absurd, idealized version of who the conspiracy types think they are.
Right. Of course.
A veteran, a noble veteran. He's cool as a cucumber with a well-trimmed beard. And, of course, he's portrayed by the director of the film.
Well, naturally.
Yeah.
Naturally.
He spouts a ton of Federal Reserve talking points at Agent Robbins and red pills the fuck out of her. To anyone not trapped in the InfoWars delusion, he sounds like a raving madman. But in the film, he's a prophet. All of his ramblings end up coming true, and the rest of the movie plays out pretty much exactly like a dramatization of one of Alex's rants. The extremist who's actually right about everything, he gets a heads-up message from Agent Robbins saying they're coming, but she misspells there as T-H-E-I-R.
Oh, no. Mm. Come on! Guys, get your fucking spelling right! For God's sakes!
The short ends with Agent Robbins following the agents who were sent to Rolly's house to wrap him up. She follows them there and kills them. Another agent who spoke up at the meeting and got sent to the other room shows up at the DHS office and starts killing people.
Okay.
It's a really fucked up ending, but probably exactly what Alex was looking for.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm all for free speech and artistic expression and all of that, but I would be remiss if I didn't point out how fucked up a fictional short film is like this when it exists on a platform like InfoWars. This isn't a fiction to the InfoWars audience. So when the things reach their natural conclusion and people in the short start murdering the Department of Homeland Security people, it's hard not to imagine that his audience would see that as a happy resolution to the story. Unsurprisingly, according to IMDb, the director Michael Dorman seems stuck in the corner of show business you might describe as InfoWars adjacent self-produced short films.
That sounds right.
So, yeah, it's really fucked up. Like the twist at the end of them murdering a bunch of DHS employees.
Yeah, that doesn't sound great.
I actually kind of got a little bit of a flutter, like of anxiety,
yeah,
when I was watching it, because it came out of nowhere. It didn't feel like that's how this was going to end. And I was like, ooh, because I thought the end would be, the purge would be of the DHS employees who, like, stood up for the Patriots.
Right.
I thought that, like, the end of it would be fulfilling the paranoia as opposed to the murdering government employees fantasies. It was weird.
I think, based on the way you've described it, the paranoia didn't really make that much sense, did it?
No.
And, in fact, they just kind of murdered DHS people, didn't they?
Well, I mean, I guess a whole lot of the Patriots still did get rolled up, like, in the
okay,
you know,
okay.
Because the DHS people didn't just go to Roland McMahon's house.
Okay, I gotcha.
They were going all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Like, his paranoid fantasies did come true. He was only spared by the fact that Agent Robbins called
Him,
you know. But even if that's the message of the movie towards the end, like, a bunch of people still got rolled up.
Yeah.
Like, isn't that what you wish to avoid? Well, the way to avoid that is kill the DHS people before that.
That does make sense.
It seems like that's a pretty logical thing to take away from the film.
Now, here is my other logical takeaway from the film, okay? Clearly, these people think that they are some level of hero. And
yes,
that they
100%
alone are capable of red-pilling other people.
DHS agents who would just give them a chance.
Right. Now, has the DHS tried using the first part of that strategy where they call up all these guys and go, hey, tell me more about yourself and what you want to do. I'm part of the DHS and they're doing an odd and evil investigation into you guys. And then they'll reveal themselves, tell all their plots, and then we'll catch them. It's the honeypot trick.
In the real world, how it would play out is the agent calls this guy. They meet up. The guy fucking kills the DHS agent.
No way.
Thinking it's a setup or something.
No way.
Something goes bad.
Yeah.
Something goes bad. I don't know. He gets seen with the DHS agent and all his Patriot buddies think he's a snitch and kill him. You know, it doesn't go this way.
Probably not.
Also, the problem with the plot of the story is the fantasy purge that happens.
Yeah.
Isn't ever going to happen. So.
No.
Yeah. The sort of.
What is going to happen though is somebody shooting up a DHS office if that's what they think is a good idea.
It does seem like a possible,
Maybe
not a possible outcome, but definitely a possible fantasy.
Yeah.
That would be created
for
by.
For sure.
I don't know. Free speech. Make whatever kind of art you want to make. But shame on you.
Well, I mean, every time these guys talk about guns being for self-defense, they always create these fantastical scenarios wherein now it's justified. All my self-defense rules are met. So now I get to go out and live my fantasy.
That's what 90% of Alex's rhetoric boils down to when you just get deep enough. When you follow the thread to the end of it, it's largely justified violence fantasies.
Yeah.
So, this next guest that comes in here on the 25th is now suing Alex, in the present day. It's Jerome Corsi.
All right.
And the two of them sit down, and it is like a date that is going well.
This is before he worked at
InfoWars. He's still working for WorldNet Daily at this point.
Gotcha.
And these two, I hate to say this because I hate both of them, they got great chemistry.
That's fantastic.
Because Corsi is a yes and guy.
Yeah.
So Alex will say something and Corsi's like, you bet. Absolutely. And then the piggyback Alex's point, that gets Alex excited that he gets it. Like, they have a momentum that feeds each other.
Yeah.
A lot of guests don't have. Like, a lot of people get interrupted by Alex and it's a speed bump. Whereas Corsi and him have a dynamic electricity. And that makes this very hard to cut clips from. Because they just go all over the place. They're bouncing off the walls, rambling about shit, but it's mostly about China sucking.
Okay. All right. That's not how I thought that was going to go.
I can't believe it's really happening.
The Bank of China has had meetings with the United States government. The plan is set for China to transfer its debt into equity, own parts of the United States manage
ports. That's official.
It's official. The meetings have happened.
That's why they said in the People's Daily a month ago, you will take the guns.
The meetings have happened.
So they want the property. They know we're going
to
fight.
And China wants to disarm the United States before this plan is implemented.
We are being conquered by the globalists leveraging China.
Absolutely. China wants us to have
this
no
weapons.
This is
crazy.
I mean, this is so, and I want to talk about the military.
It's a plan. The Cloward Piven theory, Obama's plan to bankrupt America.
A Soviet globalist commie plan.
Jesus, guys, get a fucking room.
Yeah, have you ever heard that, that song, Cutting Heads, by, the RZA and ODB, where they're like trading lines?
Yeah.
It's just going back and forth. That's what that feels like.
Yeah, it's like they're finishing each other's goddamn sentences.
Exactly.
That is so gross. It's like they had a mind meld.
It was dynamic.
Yeah.
I rarely hear like that kind of thing with Alex, like someone who's really rolling with his energy.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, because of who they are, it's deeply upsetting.
Oh, yeah. Is Corsi, does he sound like that all the time?
What do you mean?
I mean, he sounded a little bit like he's got a cold and
he has
this.
He always sounds like that.
Okay. And he has this, like, lilting, almost like he's doing arpeggios up and down whenever he talks.
No, that's pretty much how he always talks.
That's disgusting.
It's not pleasant.
Mm-mm.
So at the end there, I don't know if you caught that whole thing. It's like, China wants to start controlling parts of the United States as collateral for the debt and they're gonna take over and that's why they need to take the guns away. Right.
Yeah.
And then it gets into the Cloward and Piven stuff. Here is Corsi talking a little bit more about the Cloward and Piven plan. And when I say talking about, I mean lying.
The Bank of China has met with the federal government. They've said we want assets now for our debt. And the Cloward Piven theory drives this because the Cloward Piven, two sociologists who had a plan, they bankrupt New York in the 70s with this idea, overloading welfare. So capitalism crashes. You blame capitalism. You reconstruct socialism. Let the Chinese come in and show us how to do it. The Chinese understand capitalism the way it works, and we're just being prepared for it.
So that's not true at all. First of all, Cloward and Piven has never been enacted by anybody.
Yeah.
That's nonsense. And the Cloward and Piven plan, we talked about this way back, so it bears maybe reminding people in case they haven't heard these old episodes. It was a plan that a couple of sociologists suggested, and the motivation for it was the realization that there are tons and tons of people who are living at poverty levels that aren't taking advantage of social safety programs. You know, things for a long time, I was probably eligible for food stamps, and I didn't take advantage of that program. So what they were suggesting was people being made aware of programs that they qualify for so that they would sign up and so it would become a very large problem. The reason for this was not to bankrupt a state or bankrupt the country. What it was to draw attention to the idea that there are so many people who are living in abject poverty. It was an attempt to make the system, make the government, recognize the tremendous size of the problem by making it their problem. That's what it was. And it's never been enacted in any way. It wasn't designed to bankrupt anybody. It was designed to make the system recognize the problem that citizens were living in, the desperate straits that they were in. So,
and the only way that you can get the system to pay attention is to force them to pay more money than they want to. Basically.
At least that's what they theorized.
That was their theory. Yeah.
And so, whatever. I mean, I know Corsi doesn't want people to survive.
No. He's not a big fan of that.
So great. Poor people suck. Ha ha. Anyway, that's all we're going to listen to of Jerome Corsi and Alex. But man, it's, like I said, fireworks in that room. You can see why he hired him.
That was crazy good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And it was way better listening to them bounce off each other because the more Corsi talked by himself, the more he developed that.
It's almost
like the opposite of vocal fry, where every time he talks, he will end the sentence down here.
I hate that guy.
And he's going to talk to you all the way.
He's a boring dude.
And he's got a nosebleed or something.
Can't stand him.
Yeah.
So as Alex keeps going through the show, he says this, and it really upset me because what I think he's doing is trying to skirt the law.
Well, yeah.
And at the same time, advocate that his audience stop taking their meds. which is an incredibly dangerous thing to do.
So I want to come back and get into the shootings and how he recommends people are able to phase off of serotonin reuptake inhibitors. Because going right off of them, the inserts tell you, that'll make even go more Daffy Duck where he bounces around and shoots off into the atmosphere or over the horizon.
Stop it.
So I'm no medical doctor. The medical doctors we've had on and the psychologists, psychiatrists have said that are, you know, that are awake.
All veterinarians.
Do not go off these cold turkey. Whatever you do, I'm not giving that advice. That's what they say. I'm not giving any medical advice here. I'm just going off the research and what I would do. So we're going to talk about the mass shootings, how to get off of it.
So that is as much of him saying get off your meds while being like, oh, that's not what I'm saying.
Hey,
it's
I'm
just
not
what
telling
the research
you.
And the awake doctors that we've talked to say, which is fucked up.
Who, again, are all veterinarians.
For the most part.
Yeah.
So
even the psychiatrists.
That advice that Alex is giving, while very nimbly skirting legal rules about giving out medical advice, is so fucking irresponsible. On the one hand, it's definitely better to wean off of medication than to go off it cold turkey, but even tapering off it isn't safe unless you're under the care of a doctor. This kind of flippantness is super dangerous and could jeopardize someone's health or even their life. The person that he's talking about, because he said he, we'll talk to him, the person he's talking about in that clip, you might assume that it's a doctor or licensed psychiatrist. But that assumption would be wrong. It's a pharmacist by the name of Ben Fuchs. Why is Alex interviewing a pharmacist, you ask? Easy answer, because Ben Fuchs is a board member of Youngevity, the supplement company run by veterinarian Joel Wallach, who is one of Alex's main sponsors.
Knew it!
Oh!
Veterinarian again!
Well, adjacent. He's a pharmacist. Oh, also Ben Fuchs hosts a show called Brightside on the Genesis Communications Network. Talk about synergy. It's important to point out that though Ben Fuchs is a licensed pharmacist, or at least he was at one period, he doesn't have a doctorate or any kind of advanced degree in the field or in any other field. He has a Bachelor of Arts in Broadcasting and a Bachelor of Science in Pharmacy Science. And I'm taking that information from his own bio on his own website. You should also know this. In 2011, the Accreditation Council for the Pharmacy Education in America, the organization, it changed its policies and made it so a postgraduate degree in pharmacy studies is required for someone to be eligible to take the North American Pharmacist Licensure Examination. So based on current standards, Ben Fuchs's education doesn't even qualify him to try to be a pharmacist. Because a doctorate of pharmacy degree is required to take the test to become a pharmacist, schools in the United States don't even offer a bachelor of pharmacy degree as an accredited thing anymore.
Yeah.
So to sum it up, Ben Fuchs got a degree in 1986 that doesn't exist anymore. It doesn't even qualify him to pursue a career in the field of being a pharmacist. This man has zero qualifications to be dispensing medical advice, and he has at least two conflicts of interests with doing so on Alex's show. But that's the thing. He's not here to give medical advice. He's here to sell Youngevity products. And he doesn't give a fuck about the people who might be hurt by Alex using him to advocate that his listeners go off their meds. In the most full-throated way I can possibly express this, fuck you, Ben Fuchs.
You can do that? God, there's so many things that are legal that I really don't think are okay. Like, he can just go on, be presented as an expert,
and he has a bachelor's in pharmacy.
And then...
From 1986.
And then, convince people to go off their medications? Undoubtedly causing harm upon harm upon harm?
Well, I don't know if he, he is kind of into people not being on their meds, but he's less irresponsible about it than Alex is. Because he at least couches so much of it in, like, you know what's great if you're depressed? Sunlight.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, what makes this even worse is this is fucking paid time.
And no!
You know how I know that? Because, listen to this clip. Ben Fuchs, pharmacist Ben, sent Alex the questions to ask him.
No!
Ben joins us, and I've got some of the questions. I said, send me questions that I should ask so I can understand this better and for people.
This is just an infomercial. I am coming on your show. I have told you what I want you to ask me as setups for me to go into whatever topics I want. Blah. In this next clip, Alex talks about his get off your meds shit, and I think he times his question about getting off your meds very strategically.
We got to go to break, but from my research, because you're the big pharmacist and the expert, but what other experts have told me, after you've been on these drugs a while, though, it burns you out, then they put you usually on more, then you're in a hyper-awake form of sleep. You're in a dream state or daydreaming state, but hyper-awake, having a hallucination, and that's why people then go and use a meat cleaver to chop up their one-year-old baby and drink the blood when the woman was a Sunday school teacher. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
So you notice how that started off as a question?
Wasn't that a question?
And then he rambled to the break. And I think that's so he can introduce these ideas and sort of pimp Dr. Ben out or pharmacist Ben out a little bit. Like, you know, based on what you know. Like,
yeah.
He associates Ben with what he's saying, but doesn't give him any time to respond at the end. So, like, what's he supposed to do? Like, what's Ben supposed to do? You got to just let that happen,
no,
I guess.
No. Shit.
His mic was probably off.
Yeah,
anyway.
Probably.
So when Alex comes back, he realizes he's been ranting a little bit. And so he does this. He makes a very courteous offer, which is to leave the studio so Ben can talk.
That is nice of him.
Like, this is your radio show now, because I'm actually going to turn off my microphone and walk out of the room, because this gets me so angry and so excited that I'll start cutting into you. In the rest of this segment, get into the tryptophan. And the fact that they don't, you know, what's in meat, they don't want us getting that. Explain.
What? Who's the guy? What? Who's, you don't want people getting tryptophan? What?
So
we're going to outlaw turkey?
The government is actively eroding our Thanksgiving Day traditions?
I think it has something to do with being against vegetarians.
It's
or
a war not, on Christmas,
I'm
Dan.
I'm really not sure.
It's a war on Christmas.
So in this next clip, Alex slut shames, some folks from his past. And also simultaneously pretends he went to college.
I've known women on it in college that were, every woman I knew on it was a nymphomaniac. I don't want to get into details here, but I didn't like that. I want the real woman. I want the real personality, not like some biological android. Why does this, obviously they want more crazy people, so they want to put you on something that makes you crazy.
And Ben doesn't say, no, Alex, that's a crazy thought on your part. It's a mess. So, they get into, like, talking about longevity products, you know, it's just an ad pitch. I mean, you hear him, like, Ben say things like, there's no proof that serotonin has anything to do with depression. It's like, ah, boy. All right, man. Whatever. And I don't even care. I don't care to discuss his medical claims.
Yeah.
Number one, he's not a doctor.
Yeah.
And number two, he's just there as a pitch man.
Yeah.
And you can hear that sort of play out in this next clip.
It's InfoWarsHealth.com. This is a revolution, though, because I'll tell you this. Beyond Tangy Tangerine, Pollen Burst Plus, the essential fatty acids, all of it. What it's given me is more energy, because we always think of drugs as something magic to give us energy. No. We're designed for the minerals, the trace elements, the things we need. The government says we need 40-something vitamins and minerals. We need 90. And it's all available at InfoWarsHealth.com.
200!
Okay, so continuing.
Sold. Okay.
Basically, you're saying get out in the sunshine while you wean yourself off. There's different regimens online.
Wean yourself
off. It takes about 2 months, generally, depending on the type. But you obviously consult one of the physicians. The problem is these psychologists aren't really physicians, and they'll tell you, stay on it. Or their answer is more of it. Well, this isn't working. We'll stack them. You know, that'll fix it. So we're not telling you what to do. I'm saying get out, exercise, fresh air. Pray to God that if you don't believe in that, meditate. All the studies show it works. For whatever reason, praying helps. You know, there are no atheists in foxholes. Ben, what are some of the?
Much.
I mean, why do the studies show? I've got them right here. That the praying helps.
Well, relaxation response. You know, that's the reason why people have religion in the first place.
Is I hate
this
you
idea
too.
That there's something that can help them, that can take control over their lives.
I do like the idea, though, that Alex can't yell at him for that, because he just said religion exists because it calms you down.
Yeah.
Whereas anybody else, that would be a hostile exchange, but because this guy...
Whoa, what?
Because this guy is paying for his time on the show, Alex has to let him impugn religion.
It kind of almost sounded like a little petulant when he was like, I'm just going to get out of the studio, because it's like, this isn't my time.
No,
you bought it.
I think that it... It wasn't petulance, but what you're saying is right.
Yeah.
Like the idea that like, I don't own this time. I'm yelling over you because I get hot and bothered about telling people to stop taking their meds.
God.
I think that is behind it. The awareness that like, this is brokered programming.
Yeah.
But it wasn't like, it wasn't him lashing out, I don't think, is what I'm, what
I think you correctly got
it's
what
a fine
I,
distinction.
Yeah.
But.
The thing that is so disgusting is even while he's saying like, oh, you should go talk to your psychologist, but they're not really physicians and they're going to tell you maybe you should stay on it.
Also, as if give
like,
you more.
As if like, going there, you know you're going to get the wrong answer.
Right.
Now, Alex isn't telling you that it's the wrong answer.
No.
No, no, no. He would never say that it's the wrong answer.
No, I love this pharmacist, Ben.
He's just saying that if you go there, they're going to give you the wrong answer.
Right. So where are you going to get the right answer?
Oh.
Longevity.
Sounds right.
Much like pharmacist Ben, also, this is sort of missing from Alex's assessment, psychologists can't give you meds. So
psychiatrists can give you
right.
meds.
You should probably be more specific with his language.
Yeah.
So there's a real trend that's going on that pharmacist Ben is trying to present himself as a doctor, and he's trying to use scientific terms. He gives you the etymology of serotonin.
Great.
He's not right about it. But he's trying. He's trying to be scholarly and like real scientific and medical. And Alex is getting weird. And there's a strange dynamic that's happening.
Is he getting www.weirddevice.com?
He's close.
Okay.
No, no, we're just like jellyfish. We are a colony creature. You know about that, don't you? The fact that our tissues make up a colony.
We are a colony. That's right. We're a 100 trillion cell colony. That's exactly right.
With DNA that resonates from signals from space. Prove it. Antennas. Spiritual antennas. We'll be back.
Woo.
Now that's in retaliation for you saying that religion is just to calm people down.
We have DNA.
Fuck you.
We have DNA that are receptors for messages from space. I gotta go. I gotta go, Alex. I don't know.
That is not a Corsi level interaction right there.
No, they got along well because longevity pays the bills, but they did not have the same chemistry that that Corsi and Alex did.
Proven. DNA gives us messages from space.
So
shut up.
That was the 25th. That was Friday. And like Alex said at the beginning of the 25th, he said that on the nightly news, there was going to be big breaking news about Sandy Hook.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I watched that nightly news. Alex did not have big breaking news about that. So because we're doing this episode and I knew that Alex said on the nightly news, there was going to be this information. I was like, oh, well, I'll find the information from the nightly news. We'll be good. That'll make the episode, whatever. I watched the nightly news. It's nothing on there. I'm like, well, now I got to listen to Sunday. See if he comes into studio and says what the news is. And here is Alex coming in on Sunday.
Special report, why people think Sandy Hook is a hoax. Almost called it Sandy Hoax. I'm going to be getting into that.
Yeah, we got that.
Right. So
we all heard.
That gave me a sense that we're in for something.
Yeah, that doesn't sound promising.
That was in his headline breakdown at the top of the show. He doesn't get into that immediately because he's got other things to riff about. And the first is that it's clear that he should be calling for Trump's impeachment if he had any kind of moral clarity and intellectual consistency.
If you read Article 1, Section 9, Clause 8, of the Constitution and several other clauses that we have posted up at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com in the federal government declares itself royal video, and under it I have links to these areas. It is a felony and an impeachable offense when the president or anyone in the federal government or with the federal commission takes a title of nobility. But we've had sitting presidents become knighted. By the way, that a lot of stuff comes with that. That's a huge payoff. No title of nobility shall be granted by the United States, and no person holding any office of profit or trust under them shall, with the consent of the Congress, accept any present emolument of office or title or of any kind whatsoever from any king, prince, or foreign state. They all take giant speaking gifts, million-dollar speaking gifts by the Saudis, by the Emperor of Japan. That's why they bow. That's why they sell us out. And you...
So if you're going to complain about speaking fees and that sort of thing, then get right with God, Alex.
No
and,
kidding. Also, Jimmy Carter sold his fucking small-time peanut farm just so he wouldn't be in violation of the emoluments clause.
He certainly did. Also, pretty sure that you have to be British to be knighted. I think that there's a different...
I believe it's a peer of the state or something
there's
along
those lines. There's a different thing you can, the queen can bestow upon you.
Yeah.
Like a friend of the realm or something
that. Yeah, basically.
But you have to be...
a prince of Dorne.
Right. You have to be British, to be a knight. Anyway, so we get now to the big news about, the Sandy Hook. I mean, Hook.
Nice.
Alex is,
nicely dead.
I do think that was an actual slip.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I don't think that was intentional, but it does speak to where his mind is at.
Yeah, that sounds like he's, speaking New York Post headlines now where it's just Sandy Hoax with a question mark.
Big old question mark.
Yeah.
Except it's not a question mark for him anymore.
I have not gone there that there's actors and blue screen and it's all fake until I actually confirmed. We caught them CNN and blue screen. I got the video.
That's
it's their
it.
Original video.
That's the one.
And a bunch of other stuff. It looks really bad. And this even shakes me up. I mean, I say in the video, is everything got to be a conspiracy? I mean, you think I'm the one who thinks everything's a conspiracy? No.
Yes.
I cannot believe how bold these people are. And when I saw this blue screen thing, I said, that can't be real. And I went and looked it up and it was the CNN video. And I'll show you the rest of the stuff. It's pretty damning.
So it's the CNN Anderson Cooper video that is very well explained, has shaken Alex to his core. He wasn't going there with the actor stuff, but now everything has changed. He has turned a corner here on January 27th, 2013. This is pathetic.
I cannot handle him having an exasperated tone when he says,
Does everything have to be a conspiracy?
No, Alex. No, it doesn't.
Does everything have to be an opportunity for me to make a ton of money?
You're the reason!
It's hard also not to hear this shift coming only a couple days after they had James Tracy on and recognized the profitability, the 10.6 million views, and also a few days after Alex did that terrible display with the Lone Star College shooting. Like, it's really hard not to see this video, the CNN Anderson Cooper video, as being more of an excuse than it is actual evidence to Alex. It does feel a little artificial. So, Alex is still a little bit ambivalent. You can tell that something's changed, and the direction of his content is going to be towards that, actor's idea.
Yeah.
I'll show you the rest of the stuff. It's pretty damning. I don't know what's going on, but it looks bad. That's all I'm going to say. And I have real federal sources who've said, look into it. They think it's fake, too. So there's a lot of good people in the system.
So he has real sources. He does have to make clear, these are real sources.
Yeah.
Which makes me think they're not real sources.
As opposed to his other sources.
Yeah. Because and they're saying it's fake. So he's got reinforcement for whatever pivot he's going to make towards this.
It's good to know that there are some good people in the system.
Right. So those are real sources that he has that he's talking to, which is important to remember because on this 27th, Alex gets a caller, towards the end of the show, and this guy might be someone who Alex thinks is a real source now.
Uh-oh.
Jack in Texas, you're on the air. Moving quick here. Go ahead.
Alex, this is very important. I have absolute proof of an imminent false flag attack in Syria.
Absolute proof. Israel says they've got to invade because...
No. I'm talking about documents. I have absolute proof. I can send it to you right now. I'm in Terrell, Texas. I'm not going to be here very long. I can meet with your people. This is imminent. This is happening right now. I have absolute proof.
I can't meet with every person that says it's imminent. I mean...
Everything. I can send it to you right now.
So you're in the Army?
No, sir. I am calling on behalf of 4chan.org, the politically incorrect board.
Oh, interesting.
Really?
Interesting.
This is in 2013. God damn it.
Isn't that interesting? A caller is calling in with proof of an imminent false flag attack in Syria
on behalf
using chemical
of 4chan.
Weapons that he is getting from 4chan.
Huh.
So this caller is trying to seed this information with Alex, that there are these documents that are proving that a false flag is coming in Syria, and the information is from 4chan. Nothing is really all that different back then, really. It's weird. The more you look at it, the more pretty similar it is, even though some of the external appearances of things have changed quite a bit. So the case of this information is actually really interesting. The caller is saying that the documents have come from a hack. He goes on to explain this, that they came from a hack of a group called Britam Defenses. And it is apparently true that that firm was the victim of a cyber intrusion. So, that, you know, there is some real-world basis for this.
Yeah, for sure.
Much of the information that was leaked afterwards was legitimate. They ended up getting put up, even the stuff that was on 4chan. Mm-hmm. A lot of the documents that came out were legitimate. However, experts who have studied the leak are certain that the document about a pending false flag in Syria is fake, was fabricated specifically to be put in this leak, and was planted there.
Yeah.
In fact, Britam Defenses sued the Daily Mail for posting a story about this document and won, winning a settlement of £110,000 for libel. Interestingly, Alex posted an article about this that is no longer online. I wonder if that has something to do with this.
Man.
So the fact that this fake document was planted into a legitimate leak of hacked documents really calls into question who it was who carried this out. It doesn't seem like it would be some random person or low-skilled hacking group, since Britam was penetrated as part of the operation. The only real motive for inserting the false document, which is the one that was publicized, using the other documents as support. Like, people weren't talking about the other documents.
Yeah.
It was this specifically fake one
right.
that was the one that got all of the media push. It's what this caller is calling in to try and sell Alex
right.
on. The only motive is to make any chemical attacks that Assad might commit immediately be suspected as false flags. And the only people who would really have that kind of a motive would be pro-Assad entities. The list is pretty short.
Let's see. So, extremely powerful hacking capabilities.
Or at least
sophisticated.
Fairly sophisticated.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Pro-Assad.
Interested in seeding propaganda narratives.
Right.
In right-wing communities.
Right.
Uses 4chan for dissemination.
Smart way of backing up their, boy, there's just nobody I can think of.
Not a single person.
No. And wait.
It's probably
somebody...
a coincidence that after this, Putin frequently made arguments that the chemical attacks that Assad did were false flags. Probably a coincidence.
It's probably a real coincidence that this happened after Putin became president
again.
That's so coincidental,
man,
that it would happen like that.
I don't know. It's one thing to say that it looks good. You know, there are a lot of elements of this that do make it look like, huh, that
yeah.
feels like Russia might have been had a hand in that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But at the same time, it's entirely possible that they didn't.
Oh no, it could, it's also entirely possible that, somebody from 4chan, wanted to fuck around.
Yeah, it's easy to jump to that conclusion due to alliances, history, patterns,
yeah.
but that doesn't prove anything.
No,
and as
absolutely
far as I
not.
Could tell, it hasn't been proven who necessarily was behind
right.
it. Right. But whatever the case is, this caller, probably unknowingly, is telling...
It was actually Guccifer 1.0.
Could have been. Alex is getting this call, and I don't think that the caller knows that that document is fake.
Because
that would be wild.
That doesn't sound
That
like
would
it.
Be insane.
It's actually...
But
yeah.
What's going...
It's actually Putin on the phone right now.
English is great.
Yeah. He's doing great these days.
This caller is... trying to trick Alex about something he's been tricked about.
Mm-hmm.
It's fascinating the layers of bullshit that are going on. And what's even more interesting
is that Alex buys it hook, line, and sinker.
Here's Alex's response.
Why don't you scan those in, put them up to YouTube, again, 4chan is just, you understand, anonymous can be good, it can be bad, but a lot of times it's government sock puppets. Do you understand that?
I understand that, Alex. Look, I'm sending it to you at showtips.info at showtips@infowars.com. You look at it. You be the judge. I'm telling you, this is damning. This is
what are you sending
crazy.
It? You sending it right now?
I'm sending it right now. God help me. I'm probably signing my own death.
No, you're not. Listen, listen.
I just sent it to showtips@infowars.com.
It's, all right. Who
right
knows
there.
If it's even real? So quit thinking they're going to get you. They don't have real power. Listen, God bless you, my friend. I appreciate your call.
That is so demonstrative that Alex doesn't believe the bullshit he sells on his show.
Yeah.
The way he's so dismissive of this caller, who, like, and the way he's like, they don't have real power. They're not going to kill you.
Yeah.
But what if the information was real? What if this guy did have some sort of secret information that he could be killed for disseminating?
Alex, you know.
Come on.
If there's anything we know, Alex is far more careful with his sources than The Intercept.
It's an insane level of distrust of his own audience, which I think is healthy, but it doesn't match how Alex presents himself.
Well, it I'm going to ask you this because I could go either way on this at this point. Does Alex know that he has a show tip email address?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he talks about it a lot.
Right. So when Alex says, okay, post it to YouTube.
Well, I think he was just trying to be like, hey, why don't you farm this out yourself?
Yeah.
Like, why don't you get this ball rolling, and then I'll cover your video.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. He's deliberately saying, don't send it to me.
You know, it's like, I don't want to create more work for Paul.
Yeah.
Like, Paul Watson's busy.
Poor put upon Paul Watson.
Yeah. Now, what I thought was interesting was I heard that, and Alex being like, now, you know, this is, you know, there's good information, there's bad information that comes out of anonymous sources, you know, it's like a lot of government sock puppets. I heard that, and I immediately, I don't know why, but I immediately was like, he's going to fucking report this as a story. Like, I just knew. I had a hunch. And so I had to listen to the 28th because I was like, I'm positive he's going to report this.
So from time to call to when does he report it?
I was certain it was going to be the next day.
Yeah.
And here's what happens on the 28th.
We got a call yesterday about hacked emails out of a big British defense contractor. Paul Watson's gone over the cache and it's scans of passports, you name it. There's thousands of pages. If it is a hoax, it's an elaborate hoax. Watson, who's got a pretty good nose for these things, thinks it's real. At least most of it. They also mix garbage in. And the reason I think it has credibility is it dovetails with something we've been covering for a year.
So Alex is literally completely right. They mix in fake stuff.
Yeah.
But everything that surrounds that caveat is to get people to not think that's the case.
Right.
Paul Watson, he knows a lot about this stuff. He thinks it looks good. Mm. He's scanned over it. It checks out. If it's a hoax, it's an elaborate one, which is super unlikely, guys. And you know what? I think it's credible because it matches up with things that I've said in the past, which is support of Assad.
Yeah.
So it's like, man, you got tricked. He went to bed, he woke up the next day and was like, I'm fucking running with it.
I mean, in his defense, I don't know, I hate saying that, but so the fuck did a lot of other people.
Sure.
A lot of people got tricked by this.
I'm sure.
You know?
I'm
so
sure.
I
don't have a scorecard of how people responded necessarily, and all I'm interested in is Alex.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, yeah, fair. And he did get tricked.
And it's really, nice, for me to have my instincts so clearly vindicated. The fact that I'm listening to this, and I'm like, here we go. And then Alex throws me a curveball by being like, it's usually government sock puppets. It's not, you know, hey, you're not going to get killed. Who gives a fuck? Don't worry about it, kid.
This caller's real.
The next day.
He's dead.
It looks good. You know, I got to say. So
Sorry, dude. You shouldn't have sent us that. I guess you're dead now.
By the way, too, like fabricated document is not good. Like,
yeah.
If people did get tricked by it, it's bad. Because it is just on its face pretty absurd.
Yeah.
Because part of it is an email that was sent about like, hey, we got the go ahead for false flag, basically.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
It's like, who would send that email?
So it's our contracts. It's the Antifa contracts all over again.
Exactly.
Oh,
exactly.
Boy.
So even if other people did get tricked by it, they wanted to be tricked by
it.
And Alex scanning this and being like, it checks out. You know, it looks pretty good. It indicates that he looked at it and was like, we can work with this.
Yeah.
So anyway, the rest of the 28th is mostly Alex just saying, oh, we're going to get to calls and then ranting about nothing. So it's not worth listening
to. Well, he can't get to calls. He's already sentenced one of his sources to death by ignoring him on day one.
Clearly, that dude's dead.
Every single subsequent caller may be calling with relevant information.
We got a body out of Texas.
Gotta lay low.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy. That episode was, I mean, there are moments that are kind of bordering on entertaining because okay. Alex is just stretching it out. It's uh-huh. the thinnest broth ever. It's just constant nonsense. But globalists want your guns.
Of course.
It's such standard stuff.
Gotta
so
get them.
We're not going to listen to anything more of that. And we are through the 28th, here. And that's, you know, I think that there's massive progress here in this time span. But also just like, I look back at this episode and I think, trash. Not our episode, but looking back at like the experience of listening to all of these episodes, it's just a wall of trash.
Yeah.
You got fucking Jerome Corsi and Alex hitting it off, having a great time. I think trash.
Yeah.
I see pharmacist Ben coming in, Alex using him as a signpost to get people to stop taking their medication. I think trash. We get a caller who calls in with 4chan fucking documents that are clearly fabricated.
Do not speak ill of the dead, Dan.
I'm sorry. But that's trash. You got the fucking Operation Paul Revere contest that ends up with that 18-minute video that I had to watch.
Oh, that was trash.
Trash. You got James O'Keefe showing up for the first time.
James existing is trash.
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 Everything sucks.
I disagree with you on one point.
What's that?
I really did find it cute when he and Jerome Corsi got into that little thing there. I like seeing people excited about it.
I'm
things.
Not so jaded that I don't agree with you.
that was
something
cute.
There's something to that.
I don't know why. I'm just listening to that going like, you guys are having a great time.
But it's like if you saw, Lex Luthor and the Joker getting along really well or something like that. You see, like,
that's a good point.
You're like, oh, this doesn't bode well.
That is a good point.
You see two people with ill will. Who right. are make a career out of tricking people.
Right.
And you're like, uh-oh.
What villain. Was the...
A couple of villains are getting along, and that means they might combine their efforts.
Yeah, what was the Legion of Doom yeah. from the 60s Justice League cartoon or
yeah.
whatever?
Yeah, it's yeah. very Cobra.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
So, yeah, even that, while there is a human lightness
yeah.
to it,
yeah.
it's ugly. So all that is just trash to me, and I listen to it, and, you know, like, if you look at this, it's 24th, 25th, 27th and 28th, what is that? Like
5 days.
15 hours of,
yeah.
of trash I had to listen to.
Yeah.
But it's worth it because you scatter that trash, you kick it aside, you clean your room like Jordan Peterson will tell you to do.
Sure.
And what's left after you clean your room is Alex rationalizing and pivoting on Sandy Hook on the 27th. And I think that that is crucially important date that we have isolated, which is Alex learning about that CNN video with Anderson Cooper's nose being the justification that he needs to say that things were fake and there were actors. And so I think that we're going to see a real fall off, a real,
yeah.
really big Alex being a piece of shit. I think
yeah.
that's coming real soon.
Man, God, I hate James O'Keefe. Everybody so far in our episode that you've curated has provided false evidence.
Yeah. Yeah. They're all frauds.
Yeah. To the point of like crime.
Yeah. I think a lot of these people, in a just world would not be free.
Yeah.
Jerome Corsi, pharmacist Ben, James O'Keefe, they all have been massively irresponsible and betrayed the public trust. And that's why Alex says that this show is a college of evil.
That actually does
and
make
the three of them are
sense.
Great professors
that,
in a college of evil.
That really does make perfect sense.
Yeah, they got tenure in that college.
Wow.
So maybe that out of context drop makes way more sense than Alex thinks.
It really does.
Yeah. So we come to the end of this, and all I can say is we'll be back on Wednesday. But until then, we got a website.
We do. It's knowledgefight.com.
We also are on Twitter at @knowledge_fight.
I'm at GoToBedJordan.
We are on Facebook.
We are on Facebook.
We're also on iTunes.
You could go there. You could
various
download.
Other places that podcasts happen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say anything good about any of the people on this show.
No, none. Zero. Mm-hmm. There are no positives here. There are no heroes. Wait, there was one hero, wasn't there?
I don't think so.
Definitely not. Oh, yeah. No. Sam Elliott for not doing the voiceover for that shitty commercial.
Okay.
For WeirdDevice.com.
But are you comfortable saying that Sam Elliott has never killed anybody?
Oh, no.
He portrays cowboys a lot, and that makes you think.
Yeah.
that maybe, who cares? Sam Elliott's probably not killed anybody. But one guy who technically has, Alex Jones.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.